What's she going to do this time?
I'm going to do gentle clapping.
Very good.
Oh, lovely.
Some of our listeners might just have woken up. Wake up!
See what I did there? That was spiteful, wasn't it? Always got a little
spiteful.
Bit of spite in me.
Yes, I've got a streak of spite that runs through me that I don't think you have, Judith.
Or you cover it.
You know
me better than that.
Yes,
of course I have.
Yeah, actually, now come to think of it, I'm wondering if your streak of spite is wider than my streak of spite.
Yes, I can think of some very spiteful things that I've done in my life, but perhaps we won't go there.
Or maybe we'll have a special.
Shall we?
Whoa! Judith, it is coming up to a year that we have been in and out of captivity. And do you know what conclusion I have come to?
Oh, tell me.
I'd be quite good in prison.
Oh, interesting.
It would have to be a nice prison, you know. I'm not talking about any shit prison. I'm not going down Brixton.
Right.
But if they
an open
put
one.
Me, yeah, an
yeah.
open
right.
prison.
Right.
Oh,
go
you'd
on.
Be great in an open prison, Judith.
Do you think we could hack it? Could you hack it?
I could hack it. I think if you were in an open prison and there was some farm work to be done, you'd really get off on it, actually.
I see what you mean. Yes, I see what you mean. As a training, as a preparation for, yes, lockdown has been, yes, well, I see what you mean.
Here would be my rules of the kind of prison I'd have to be in. It would have to be an open prison. And I'd quite like quite a nice, like a hall of residence type prison.
Oh, yes.
Your own room.
That would be very important.
Mind you, I'd have to sort of have a word with the people who ran the open prison, say, listen, most of them will have shower rooms, but I need a bath.
Come on. No, you're pushing it now. We're going into a cheap hotel now. Come on. I think your own room, a decent bed, your own room, some paints.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Well, there'd be a lot of activities in a prison, Judith.
Like?
Well, lots of painting and you know.
Pottery,
maybe some wicker work. And then if we were in open sort of farm prison, then there might be ponies. And you know me, I love a pony.
Do you think we might be describing a mental institution?
Yeah, we are a bit, aren't we? Let's get out of that.
We are
crawling out of this very slowly. Do you know I heard the other day on Monday morning?
Oh, it's not going to depress me, is it?
No.
Go on. What?
I woke up at 8:30 and I thought, what the fuck is that racket? What is it? What's going on outside? Do you know what it was?
No.
Kids. It was kids walking to school.
You woke up at 8:30, you lucky sod. They'd have you out of your room in an open prison.
Out of my cell. Don't call it a cell.
Yeah. You'd have you out of that a lot sooner than 8:30, I can tell you.
And I don't want porridge in my prison. I don't like porridge.
I'd be a cowering wreck. I think I'd be useless. I'd be an absolute cowering wreck in
You'd be
prison.
Scared of the other people, Judith. You'd be scared of
exactly.
some of them not being nice.
Exactly.
Being a bit
rough. I would. Yeah. And I wouldn't be able to, I'd have nothing to offer. You know, it's not like I'm kind of a retired lawyer where there'd be something to barter with. I'd have nothing to barter with at all, would you?
I don't know. I think that you would take classes. I think in the end, you'd be really good, Judith, and people would be coming to you and saying, oh, you know, you've got a sewing machine. Can you run me up some curtains for my cell and all that kind of thing?
Maybe. Anyway, I'd have to get good at something, wouldn't I? Yeah.
Well, you are good at sewing. You're good at many things.
No,
you'd have a book club. You'd have a prison book club. You'd be so busy, Judith. You really would.
Oh, God.
Anyway, listen, pressing question of the week. I mean, we're not on Culture Corner, obviously. We've only just started the show, but we have to get this out in the open. Now, I did not watch the Harry and Meghan thing, and I am relying on you, Judith, to fill me in on the juicy bits.
Oh, I wish I hadn't watched it, really. I mean, I think in a way, your decision not to watch it was a very sensible one, because I just, it's got to me in so many ways. It's really, really upset me. I mean, it's terrible, but it's really been on my mind. I slept really badly last night thinking, well, you know, poor old Harry, poor old Charles, what a mess. It's just, you know, the fallout from it, from everyone is just absolutely awful. And I got, I really went for it, Jenny. For instance.
Okay, okay. Did you get a tray of snacks, Judith? Did you sort of...
Well, I kept coming out thinking, okay, well, I'm going to stop watching it now. I'm going to stop because it's just too awful and it's just too dreadful. And then I'd come back in and start it again. It was like having a box of chocolates that I knew I shouldn't carry on watching, but I couldn't stop myself. Worse than that, the night before I watched the Channel 5 grubby little documentary, which was, you know, all about, which was called, I think the Meghan's versus the Palace or something.
I think they should have called it the grubby documentary.
Well, they should have called it the grubby documentary. It was grubby in the sense that sometimes those Channel 5 things can be. So there's just wave goodbye to any commissions I might ever get on Channel 5, haven't I? You know, where they keep showing you the same bit of footage, you know. Yeah. Oh, here she is in the brown dress again. Oh, yeah. Oh, here she is again on the...
Did they wheel out her dad on the Channel 5 one?
No, nobody like that, could it? You know, no, absolutely. It was the usual thing, but and some rather grubby Zoom backgrounds, I felt. So there were one or two kind of, I think, sort of ex-Sun photographers or whatever who looked like they were sitting in some horrible sort of nicotine-stained pub. Do you know what I mean?
Actually, the idea of being able to go into a proper old nicotine-stained pub really appeals to me at the moment.
Does it? Well, it would do.
A little bit. Yes, it does, actually. It would mean I was young again. okay, so, right. So this is the Channel 5 documentary. So you sort of whet your appetite with that one. And what was the verdict from that one? Was it
very anti-Meghan. So it was like this horrible sort of grubby... You know, kind of, we'll get sort of ready to be really ready for a sort of a showdown. And yeah, it was pretty anti. It was very damning on the sort of Meghan front, really. Okay. There weren't many people that were, and there were a lot of examples of the social media stuff, which has been so anti-Meghan, which I must admit, I wasn't perhaps aware of. It was shocking and everything. But so we get into the so the Oprah interview itself. I mean, Oprah was amazing.
So basically, you've had a crappy starter in a kind of really rubbish pub with the Channel 5 one, and now you're sitting down to feast on the ITV fine dining version.
Yeah, I know.
Which was an hour and a half, was it?
Oh,
not?
so long. In the most
gorgeous... Did you get bored?
I did a bit. I got a bit bored, but I just got. I just thought it was like a car crash, and so many. Obviously, it was. I was quite interested in the house. I was quite interested in the. You know, it wasn't their house. It was a mate's house in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
And gosh, have you ever been to Santa Barbara?
No, I'd love to go to Santa Barbara. Oh, just saying Santa Barbara makes me feel a bit exotic. Santa Barbara makes me feel like I've just had a cocktail. And I might be about to step out onto my terrace or something and have a pool boy. That's very Santa Barbara. Do you know Santa Barbara?
I do. Yes, Mike's got some friends who've got a house in Santa Barbara.
Jesus, Judith.
Yeah, I know. Gorgeous house. Not sort of obviously in that enclave, but quite close, I think.
Oh, my God.
And
down
we
the
went
road.
To stay. I mean, we went to stay. And I remember that next door, could you believe this? They were moving their pool because the pool was in the wrong place. Imagine the expense. Like, yeah, it's not right. They were moving it about, you know, 2 or 3 metres to get.
Get more sun.
To whatever it was. So they were moving that and they were having their drive, I remember, planted with fully grown palm trees. So every day these lorries would arrive with, can you imagine, massive palm trees.
Just the price of it. Just the cost of it,
the
Judith.
The price of it. Fully grown trees.
Fully grown trees. They're not cheap.
Yeah. No, they're not cheap. Well, funnily enough, because in the background of the Oprah Winfrey, see how much I've taken it in? It's so terrible. In the background of the Oprah, it was this sort of olive grove. And I thought, well, I wonder if that's been specially planted. And if it has, that will have cost a fortune. Now, I know it will have cost a fortune, Jenny, because funnily enough, at the garden centre at the weekend, there was a big olive tree in a
pot. Okay, was it taller than you? Was it taller than you?
It was about the same size as me. No, so it wasn't
if
the same.
If you stood in a pot in soil, slightly off the ground, it's the same size as you.
About the same size as me.
Okay.
A bit, slightly larger girth. Guess how much that it was.
Right. I have a feeling olive trees are very slow to grow. So I'm going to go either 350 quid or 3,500.
Well, that's a pretty wide band.
Yeah, I know.
There. 1,000, over 1,000, 1,100.
Okay.
So in a way, you're
because I think we bought a very small weedy one. Size wise, if you put Phoebe in a pot, that sort of size.
Yes. So anyway, so I got sort of diverted on the olive.
The squirrels have fucked it as well. I have to say that. The squirrels have had those olives. I mean, you know, it's barely anything, just a twig now. There we go. So, okay, so they borrowed a house. I know, I know elements of this. Because
well, how could you not know? Because it's just been so everywhere. Oprah was amazing. I mean, you just think, God, she is the best detective in the world, isn't she?
She's very experienced, Judith. She's done a few interviews in her time.
Just a bit. And the way she sort of glides between chummy, almost therapy, to this kind of jiggy-jaggy kind of, yes, but we want some clarification there, please. And, she just kind of reels people in, doesn't she? It's extraordinary.
Okay, now, I know that in the past you've blown hot and cold on Meghan.
I have.
After this show, which way did your Meghan... your Meganometer swing?
I think my Meganometer, I feel more sympathetic about her situation. And I think she was very hurt and she was badly treated. And goodness me, some of the things that she says were said and Harry said were said were absolutely unacceptable. I just think how sad that it's all so out there and so sad that, you know, that Harry's obviously fallen out with his family. I think what I feel saddened by is that family rift, which, you know, is not going to heal for a very long time. It's just so... She was never cut out for royal life, was she? I mean, she's an independent woman with her own mind. And I suppose, in a way, she, as Oprah said, you know, she didn't know what she was going into. And it's just not suited. I mean, it must be very difficult to be in that situation where you can't speak your mind. And that is, I'm sure, what the situation is.
We'd be rubbish, wouldn't we? We'd be bad wives of royalty. God.
We really would.
Because I wouldn't dress properly. Now I'm going, oh, fuck this. I'm not wearing tights. I'm not wearing court shoes. I'm not doing that. I might not wear knickers today. I don't know. Fuck it, really. I think the thing is that all of us have a very maternal kind of streak of affection for Harry.
Oh, very much so. And very much so.
Very much a bit of us that doesn't really would rather this hadn't happened at all.
Oh, I know. It is. It is. There will be no going back. And I think
I do feel it's time for a bit of a royal shake-up, though. I think it's about time it did sort of become streamlined and much more modern. And that's what apparently Prince Charles was talking about doing. Yes. And, you know, the whole rigmarole and the whole fancy dress and the pageantry of it is sort of starting. I think that might have to go with our present queen, who, of course, you and I take our hats off to.
I do. And she must be terribly, terribly hurt. I think the difficulty is this thing where they seem to be saying, we want it. We don't want the publicity. You know, we want our privacy and we don't want that. But yet you do the massive interview on, you know, for the American networks. It's that anomaly which I find difficult. Sort of an aversion to publicity and press, but a hunger for it at the same time. That's difficult. I think that's what a lot of people.
That's why the Megometer swings both ways, isn't it?
I suppose it does.
I mean, I felt itchy while it was on. I thought there was a bit of me that couldn't settle that night, Judith.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, I felt like, should I be watching? What am I missing out on? You know, is this something I should have an opinion on? Do I have to have opinions on everything? Is it important to have an opinion and stick to it? Can I have several opinions about this? In the end, I thought, I can't watch it because I don't know what my opinion should be.
That is so spot on, Jenny. I can totally sympathise with that.
I ended up watching a MasterChef and wandering off to do the new exciting jigsaw, Judith.
Oh, tell me more.
Oh, no. You don't care. You couldn't give
a shit about jigsaws. I don't care, really. Go on. Well, no, I do.
It's a beauty. It's a Frank Lloyd Wright design that was a cover for a Liberty magazine, but it was too avant-garde for them to use it. Anyway, it's like sort of... buildings, skylines and all this sort of thing, but it's actually a cactus garden and it's really difficult. But anyway, it doesn't matter. My brother sent me an awful, awful birthday. It's my birthday next week.
I know.
So my brother sent me this birthday present, and this huge thing arrived. So, you know, Jeff deals in 20th Century prints. And I thought, oh, it must be one of Jeff's big prints. So he opened it. And I went, oh, no, it's for you. And it's, honestly, it's vast, and it's the ugliest thing you've ever seen. And it's this... I've hidden it somewhere. It's one of those places that's too big to hide anywhere.
Oh.
And it's a jigsaw, a portable jigsaw thing. You open it up and you can do a jigsaw on it, and then you can close it up and carry the jigsaw somewhere else. Like I've got another table.
Oh,
we're a one-table house. I can't take the jigsaw off the table and put it on another table or anywhere. I haven't got another table. I've got one table.
So are you going to tell him this? Well, does he listen to this?
Oh, he's going to get it back for his own birthday, the prick. You know, we've done this before with bread makers and all sorts of things. You just get a stupid present and you just wrap it up and give it him back.
Oh, yes. No, that is annoying.
So, Judith, just a quick few questions to round up from last week. Did you battle with TalkTalk? I was about to go into battle with TalkTalk,
and I was in battle with TalkTalk for two or 3 days. Of course I was.
Okay.
You know, not like this is an unusual situation. I was number 26th in the queue quite often.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, all of that. And in the end, I got through to somebody who put me on hold for 4 minutes because they were checking with their manager to see if they had the resources to deal with me. All I wanted to do was open up some broad, you know, to start a broadband account.
Yeah.
And I got through to, anyway, listen, this happens to everybody. However, Jenny, do you know what I did? I decided to venture into the live chat area.
Went online and there's a little box.
Yes, there's a little box. Yes. Have you done this?
Of course I've done this.
Oh, God.
But not with TalkTalk. I've done it. I mean, I did it yesterday with the Conran shop. There's a tale to tell.
I don't know why I haven't done this before. Oh, my God. It's brilliant. You know, you can say, you don't have to make friends with them or any of that, you know.
You don't have to say, sorry, can you speak up? Because I'm actually really quite deaf.
Yes, you don't have to spell. You don't have to spell anything. All of that, absolutely marvellous. So that is the way to go. I mean, I don't know why I hadn't do that years ago. Yes, job done. Live chat.
Oh, good.
Now
the question that will be on everybody's lips, of course, read the TalkTalk battle. Have you ordered the orange kettle?
The girls won't let me. Very excited I was. I said, look at this lovely orange kettle. I'm going to get this. Ellen came back and said, you are joking. No, but they both hate it. Do you think I might order it anyway?
Really?
I think I might order it anyway. I think orange is the new whatever.
Well,
orange
goes with every... I love a bit of... Well, Judith, talking about orange, here's my orange purchase of the week. I mean, it's not fully purchased yet. I've had to have my office chair recovered.
Oh, yes.
Because I sit on it so long, right? And you know how I sit? I always put my feet underneath my bottom.
You sit like a child. First time I saw you do that, I was complete. It's like you're in this sort of teenage yoga pose.
Yes, well that's how I sit.
How you do it?
And I didn't think I had smelly feet, right? But I often don't wear socks when I'm writing. I'm so curled up in my office chair, sitting on my own feet. And I realised over the last month or so that when I was coming into my office.
You're going to say it smells
slightly high. It was just, I just thought there's something sour, and it was my feet had sort of impregnated the upholstery of my office chair with this sour foot smell. It was like a teenage boy's bedroom. The fabric was whiffing, and it was sort of beyond the help of Febreze. So I've had to, and this has happened. This is the fourth time, or the fifth time this has happened since, I mean, we've been in this house for 15 years. So basically, I think it's about every 3 years, I make my chair smell so badly, I have to have
it. Oh, you mean that you've had it recovered? This is the fifth time you've had it recovered?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, Jenny.
It might be cheaper to have my feet done.
Yeah. I think it might.
Honestly, so I've gone for orange corduroy from the Designers Guild.
Lovely.
Yeah.
You see, we're both into orange, aren't we?
We're so into orange. I think we need a bit of orange in our life at the moment.
Yep, we're either ahead of the curve or behind the curve. I'm usually behind the curve, but I'm saying that I'm ahead of the curve if you're there too. That's what I'm
saying.
We're
bang on
that curve.
I'm
going to get that orange kettle. I'm going
to
get it.
Well, do you know what, Judith? I think people are about to go into a decorating and reupholstery frenzy. I really do.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. I think because you felt the call of the orange kettle. I felt the call to get my chair reupholstered. Everyone is bored shitless of their surroundings.
Yeah. Oh, so
everyone's looking at their wall going, oh, not that wall again. Jeff has never sold so much artwork since he set up 20th Century Prints.
Interesting.
I mean, he's taking stuff off our own walls. We had a John Piper up. So in our dressing room, I mean, it's not really a dressing room, it's a spare bedroom. We call it a dressing room because it makes us sound posher. And that's gone. I thought, well, where's that John Piper gone? He said, I've got a very good offer on that.
Effectively, he's selling this to the family silver, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Scam.
Well, you know, anyway, so there we go.
Oh, yes. Now, the other thing that the other little sort of trail of information, a little question that we set last week was birds' front bottoms. Do you remember?
We didn't think we'd get much back on that, but there's quite a few of our owls, the older and wider listeners, know some stuff about.
They know their birds' front bottoms, don't they? They really do.
So, apparently, Judith, I mean, I think the information that we need to sort of share is that some birds actually have penises.
Mm,
and this is a very dark, this is a very dark area of the internet. Can I just say now that if you type in ostrich penis, just be prepared to see something really quite vile. I mean, really, I'm not a big fan of the penis at the best of time, but... You know, really, the bird penis is a frightening thing. So much so, I picked up this bit of it. Male ducks have a penis, but it's not an ordinary penis. It's like, oh, God, this is so awful. It's like an explosive spiral penis.
Have you seen a photo of it?
It's spiny, right?
Oh, no.
Yes, and by bird standards, it's huge, right? So if you consider, if you will, for a second, the Argentinian lake duck...
Right.
Has. This will make your eyes water. Its member is over 16 inches long.
Good God.
Stretched out. So when fully erect, it is the penis is a little longer than the duck itself.
Oh, word. My word. Who would have thought?
I can't go down Peck and Rye again. I can't look at that duck pond. I mean, really?
Oh, but now you see, I thought, oh, no, you surprised me because someone else mentioned something as beautiful as cloacal kissing. They said that birds do cloacal because that was the word that you presented to us.
That's the front bottom of most birds. Yes,
they do
rubbing, just rubbing. It's a lot of frottaging, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Well, it's actually its proper term, apparently, is cloacal kissing. But, you know, I mean, now you've told me about the 16-inch Argentinian lake duck.
You've got to watch them.
Send me in another bloody
direction. Yeah, if you're ever in Argentina and someone says, do you want to go down the lake? There's loads of ducks. Just say no. No, thank you very much. Rather
not.
Do you
know, I talked to somebody the other day about the possibility of breeding Poppy, right? Because she's about to have her first season, I think.
Okay, now I'm going to ask some really stupid basic questions because I've never had a dog. So when a girl, I'm not calling Poppy a bitch. When that bitch Poppy comes into season, does she bleed? Does she bleed for days on end?
I think, well, not just days. I think they're in season for 3 weeks. Apparently, you have to keep her on a lead at all time, and you can't even leave her in the garden on her own during that 3 week period because presumably, you know. Dogs will climb over the fence or she'll try and get out. But yes, she do that. They bleed for about 10 days, I think.
Well, what are you going to put on her?
Well, I've got a cream sofa. What the hell am I going to do?
Well,
I tell you, the other dark area of the internet that I've been in of late is dogs' knickers. All in one knickers that you have to buy them, like little, you know, plastic pants.
Yeah, but that's only for the first time. After that, she can use tampons.
I know she's intelligent, Jenny, but I don't think she's that intelligent.
Now, listen, it does Right, you know she plays with Pebbles, the other dog that's a bit like.
Yes.
Is Pebbles a girl or a boy?
Oh, she's a girl dog. She's a girl
okay,
dog.
So
yes,
there's
all right.
No
that's
mischief
all right.
there.
That's okay. Okay, that's okay. Yeah. But no,
you
but
think they'll come on together, Pebbles and Poppy?
Oh, that would be sweet, wouldn't it? They might too.
They might,
they might
sort of both get in the same basket and go, oh, we're a bit, we're, our tummies hurt. And we just want to sort of cuddle up and watch a video and just have some schniggle time. Can I have schniggle time in a Nurofen?
And
that's
and
what
a hot water
want.
Bottle. Oh, gosh, it's a long time since we had periods. I've just suddenly, yes, it suddenly took me back. But anyway, the reason we got onto that is
what do you mean,
I...
long time? I'm still having periods. I'm
going
to have a baby.
Stop it. Of course you're not. Don't pull the other one. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. So the reason we got onto that is that I talked to somebody who breed, you know, because I thought, well, you know, are we going to have in season, are we going to have a Newton? Might we want to breed her, you know, because she's such a gorgeous dog, of course. So I spoke to this woman who breeds them. And she described the process of kind of mating, you know, when you of obviously pay for you know, she comes in heat and you pay for this boy dog to do his, whatever he does.
Yeah.
It's just brutal. She said you'd have to be prepared for it to be an unpleasant experience. I had to send my husband. I couldn't do it. Apparently they have to be muzzled and held down. It's truly, truly horrible. And then apparently... they remain attached by this, you know, after the docking procedure has happened, you know, because this is what I was thinking about your 16-inch Argentinian later.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
It's quite a long penis. And they sort of remain attached for about half an hour.
Ooh.
I mean, imagine that.
I mean, where do they do it? You don't want them doing that in your sitting room, do you? You'd have to have a big... Oh, God, Judith, don't let them do it in the Wendy house. This
I
is a thing
I
that must
bring myself oh, to.
This is a thing that must only happen in the garage. I mean, you've got a garage; you can do that. I haven't got the spaces for this kind of thing. I haven't even got space for a jigsaw carrier.
I'm really looking forward to bringing her when we go away, because you did say, didn't you, that you'd have her for a week or two. I know you'd love it. You'd love it. You'd
oh,
love
Judith!
It.
I mean, I tell you,
some bones.
You let me have Poppy for a week or so when you go away, and I tell you what, I'd hand her back, and I can guarantee you one thing:
what?
She'd be pregnant by some terrible mutt that she bumped into in a South London park. I'd let her off the lead for 5 minutes in Peckham Rye Park, and there'd be
me,
some massive Doberman there that'd take her up the arse, and that'd be it.
That'd
and then you
can
breed those. You can breed part Spaniel, part Doberman things, dogs.
Well, that says it all about our friendship, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that
really?
Says it all. That's all I can do for you. Right, you're not going away anyway before I go away.
No, we're not.
Not ready yet. Not ready to go away yet. We can't go away yet. We haven't got double jabs yet.
No. How's your mum?
Oh, well, June is bonkers. I mean... It's just wearing, really, because I really miss my mum. I miss her so much because she was so sensible, and sometimes things happen. And I want, you know, I don't know whether she's watching Drawers Off. I have told the home about it, just in case somebody said something to her and it made her confused.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, but I think the trouble with a lot of nursing homes across the country, and I'm sort of obviously on a one-woman mission, to change channels, to get them to change channels for a change. I think they're all on the quiz shows. I think early evening time slot, the 5:30 time slot, it's all pointless and all that. So, what I really need to do is get into a few nursing homes and just change the channels.
Well, it's a great show, Jenny.
It's a good show for old people because they'd have a good laugh.
It's a good show for all of us. I'm really, genuinely, really, really enjoying it. I haven't seen them all. But it's compulsive.
What do you mean you haven't seen them? it's a daily routine for us. Sometimes I think, oh, God, we've got to stop now because we've got to go and
watch
Drawers
yes,
Off. Because, though I've told my sister, that she doesn't have to watch it. She just needs to put the television on because that counts as a viewer. And I'm trying to get a second series, you see.
Well, you think somebody might be counting it somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's not how it happens. They can't, you know, everyone's counted. So I've said, listen, I know you're busy and it's not really your cup of tea.
It's really good. I'm really enjoying it. And I think the more I see it, the more I realise it's actually a really neat, clever format, isn't it? Because It's and the clever trick, of course, is that you're choosing that, you know, the sitter is choosing the best one, and so there's vanity
involved.
Or the one
they like the best.
Sorry, yes, the one they like the best, precisely. Yeah. So there's vanity involved.
Yeah. It's there's how you see yourself, how other people see
yes.
you. There's sort of
yes.
Sometimes people pick up on things you don't like about yourself. It might be a nose, it might be a tummy, yeah. it might you yeah. know all sorts of things. Yeah, yeah. It's a weird one.
But also, I think you see people progress over the week, and you know. The kind of, and they're nice, you know, a lot of them are really nice people, and you're very good on it, really very good. It's a great show. I'm so pleased you did it.
I was having a ball on it. Let's go into yeah. Because we've slightly peaked with some telly viewing, but there have been other things that we've watched this week. So let's go to Culture Corner films this yes, week, Judith. Yes, what have yes. you seen?
Well, I've seen Bohemian Rhapsody. Obviously, it was in the, you know, cinemas ages ago, and I kind of yeah. missed it. Did you see it?
I didn't see it in the cinema, and I haven't seen it at home since.
Oh, it's lovely.
And I don't know why, because it won loads of stuff.
Yeah, it did, and I've never really loved Queen in the way
no,
that most
neither.
People do. I've never really liked their
the
music.
No.
But it was an amazing story, and the guy that played
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And it was marvellous. I would really recommend that.
And how did you watch it? What was it on?
I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's
okay.
on Netflix.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, watch that.
These music biopics have done really well, because we
have.
Loved the Elton John one, didn't we?
Oh, I adored that. Absolutely.
Is this as good as that, Judith?
Not quite. Not quite, but it is
okay.
Very,
okay.
Very
the
good.
Other musical biopic that I want to see is more of a documentary about polystyrene. Do you remember polystyrene?
Punk woman.
Yeah, yeah. Even Joan Free adolescence, cleanliness is her obsession, cleans her teeth 10 times a day, Strum Awake, that's one. Do you remember that?
Bloody hell.
I love polystyrene. And I actually put some money towards making this film. I think it's about
Did
a
you?
Year ago. It might have been. Yeah, you know when things are crowdfunded and
Ooh.
And you suddenly get these emails saying, you know, we're close to being able to make this film. And, you know, I mean, when I say I chipped in about a tenner or something like that. But, you know, if yeah. everybody does, these projects can get off
yes.
the ground. Anyway, this has been made. And I don't know whether you've ever done this, but you can, because it's this polystyrene thing is available on Sky, but if you want to watch it without any adverts, you can pay £10 to
wow.
an independent cinema and watch it through your telly.
Oh, what a good idea.
Yes.
That's a really good idea, and I would very much like to see that.
Okay. So okay. the only film I saw this week was a bit of an odd one. You know how I went through a Bob Mitchum phase about
a
month ago?
Yes, I was rather puzzled by that.
I know. I've always fancied Bob Mitchum, even when I was a young girl. I kind of got the Bob Mitchum thing. Anyway, there's a film called The Friends of Eddie Coyle, which is Bob Mitchum as an old gangster type. Mm. He must have been in his 50s by the time he made this. It's a film made in the 1970s, which I find those films quite intriguing, because they're not yet classics and the colours are all weird and they're all sort of... They can come across very naffly, and you think, really? But I really enjoyed this one, because it was a bit like a precursor to The Sopranos. It was set in that kind of mood. And what was interesting about it, and what was unusual, was the woman that played his wife, and this was a film made in the 70s, looked the same age. And it just struck me how seldom you see this in movies. You know, a 50-odd-year-old man with a 50-odd-year-old woman
how
as his
interesting.
Wife.
Yeah, that
and
is
And she
interesting.
Was, you know, broad across the beam, and
she was
a little bit untidy.
She was real, was she?
She
yeah.
was
yeah.
real.
Yeah. That is unusual.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's a disgrace, isn't it? But yeah. What yeah. made what on earth made you watch that? I mean, sometimes you mention films that you think, what on earth got you there?
I know, Judith. I know that sometimes, because I go on these kind of fact-finding missions about films and what we should be watching, and sometimes I crowd my head with so much information. You know, I go through all the listings and the Sunday Times and who's watching what and all this kind of thing, and I make
do
great
you?
Lists. Yeah.
Blimey, you do take it seriously, don't you?
Yeah, and then I get it wrong. time.
Oh, I'm much lazier than that. I you know, if it's a new release or it's got, you know, rated number one in the UK, then we're more likely to do that.
I've got one more thing that I think that is not weirdly esoteric or a bit mad.
Good.
I think that everybody who listens to this would enjoy. And it was a documentary that actually was on at the same time as the Meghan and Harry thing, but I didn't know about it at the time. And it was a documentary about Miss World versus the women's libbers. Who, you know, when they broke out in the Albert Hall in 1970. And it was this wonderfully fair... I mean, it's kind of the antidote to the Harry and Meghan thing in some respects, because it was this very honest, fair, from both sides account. Some of these women who competed in Miss World in 1970, you know, they're knocking on a bit now, but still very beautiful.
Still gorgeous,
you know, Miss Sweden, who's still a bit of a looker. Miss Granada is fabulous, you know. So that was really interesting. I've always had, I mean, this is a terrible admission to make, I used to love Miss World.
Well, of course, yes. I mean, so did I. So did I.
I mean, I don't think I saw that 1971. I'd have been 10. But I remember watching it in the later on in the 70s and just, you know, me and my cousin Elizabeth and my sister Sarah, and we'd have a bottle of R. White's lemonade and a bowl of crisps. And, you know,
it was like a parade of dolls, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we'd be slagging them off and going, no, I like that one and I love that swimming costume. And what ridiculous, oh, no, she looks so beautiful in that dress. And all that sort of thing, with absolutely no academic sense of, you know...
Yes, this I know what you mean. With great innocence. With great
innocence.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
What was really interesting was the Miss World's contestants just saying, I wish they'd talk to us about, you know, the activists, this sort of...
Oh, interesting.
It was interesting because it was very fair. You had the opinions from the beauty queens, and you had the, you know, the memories from these wonderful, you know, first wave women's libbers.
Yes, yes,
who are
yes.
now sort of in their 70s and are just...
Oh, I'd
know,
like
they
to
did
see
so
that.
Much.
I'll look it that was, up.
You would love it so much, and it's beautifully put together, and it's such a great story. Mm. And nobody wins and nobody loses in it. Women just have different opinions, and that was what... And they still have quite different opinions. And there were women beauty queens saying, you've got to remember, I came from a very small island. This was my chance to get out.
Of course it was. Absolutely.
So it's this thing that always that happens all the time, isn't it? Where you have to listen to the other side and find a little bit of common ground.
Very true. Very true. I did a documentary about Miss Worlds years ago, and I took about six of them. Yeah, back to Sun City. So I interviewed all of them, you know. In fact, Bruce Forsyth and Will and Alia, all of them. And I actually remember
Judith,
Miss
can
Grenada.
We dig this out from anywhere?
It was extraordinary. It was the most amazing 2 weeks. I've never seen such big suitcases in all my life. I remember being at Heathrow and, you know, literally arriving with like three massive suitcases each, these sort of women who still were incredibly glamorous. But yes,
and how old were they?
They were probably, some of them were in their kind of 60s and some of them were in their 30s. Most of them still very beautiful. And as you say, for them, it had been a turning point, and a turning point for the good, really, for many, many of them. But it was extraordinary to spend some time with them all. God. TV-wise, I tell you, I'm getting such a muddle. What I'm getting muddled up is Bloodland with James Nesbitt and The Unforgotten. And I've now reached the stage, because I know in one of them there's a guy that overdosed in Viagra, and in the other one, I think it's the other one, there was a headless body in the freezer. And I'm starting to turn into one of those really irritating companions, I think, on the sofas. Because I say to my, wait a minute, where... Is this the one with the freezer? What's that got to do with the freezer? Where's the book? Oh, it's terrible. I think I've got some sort of, you know...
Sometimes you just can't really cope with anything complicated, which is why we sort of end up watching MasterChef again Celebrity Bake Off's back.
Comfort. Oh, I like that. Well, you won that last year, didn't you, Mrs?
Well, it was a fluke. Yeah.
Apparently
haven't baked since. Haven't baked anything since. No, of course I haven't. couldn't be less interested. There we go. I don't know who's doing it. I think there's quite a lot of comics doing it again. I think David Baddiel's doing it and Philippa Perry's doing it. And
Philippa Perry. Oh, yeah. Lovely. Oh, I hadn't realised that. Oh, nice. Oh, yes. Nice. Apparently, I don't know whether they've asked Chris Whitty for some sort of future series, but wouldn't that be good if Chris Whitty...
He hasn't got time, really, Judith. I'm really sorry. If I see Chris Whitty doing Celebrity Bake Off, and then I'm really... it's the end of the world, because Chris Whitty's got to save our lives, not set about with eclairs.
But then maybe next year. I do like Chris Whitty. I hope he gets his own show.
You've got a massive crush.
I have a bit. No, it's not exactly a crush. It isn't exactly a crush. I just find him comforting. If he were to walk into this room, I'd feel calm.
So we'll get on to books now. I have finished Kiss Myself Goodbye by Ferdinand Mount. It is very good. I listened to it on Audible. It is very poshly read. And some people will not be able to hack how poshly it is read. I don't mind that. And I think it's a little bit too crammed with too much information at times. But it is a fascinating read. And I do think I'm really glad I've listened to it. I'm still enjoying the short stories by Emma Klein. They're very dark. And I've got another nighttime story, another Agatha Christie on the go. This time we are on Endless Night, Judith.
Wow. So that's your joint one, is it? The Agatha
Christie?
That
is the joint one, yes. We're on another Agatha Christie.
You do scamper through them, don't you? You really do. I'm glad I'm not in your book group. I would never be able to keep up with you.
I'm not in a book group.
I know you're not.
Which is why I've got time to read what I want. And at this point, my publishers would like to remind the owls that Camberwell Beauty, which is the first novel I ever wrote, is available on all Kindle-type devices for 99p, Judith.
Wow, it's a bargain.
Anyway, emails. Ooh. What's caught your eye on emails?
Did you see the lovely email from Daisy's sister, Beth?
Yes, I did.
It did touch me. She lives, we know where she lives because Daisy's told us. She lives on Iona. And actually, while I'm saying that, I'm realising that, Daisy, I bet you haven't seen her for ages. She wrote to us and she said, "In this weird, scary and, let's face it, sometimes tedious time, you have really made me feel less homesick. At times, listening to you is uncannily like the conversations I have with my mum and Daisy. Hopefully things will start to get easier soon, and I'm already looking forward to hearing you both talking about being with your girls again properly. Yeah. Thanks for making me laugh," she says, "so much and cry just a little. Beck, 42 and 11 months."
I know. And Beck's our friend now, so I've told Beck that we're going to come stay as soon as we can.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's a young listener, isn't she? 42
and 11
months.
Yeah, she's a young listener.
Tell your mates,
Beck. And when we come stay, she'll be sick to death of us within about 3 hours.
I think less than that.
So we got another... I enjoyed this email from Alison, aged 62 and a quarter, who emailed in to expound on the joys of sitting on a wall and letting your legs dangle.
Oh, interesting.
Judith, doesn't that make you want to find a wall?
It does, actually. Did you used to do that when you were a kid?
Yeah. There's just nothing quite like getting up on a wall that's slightly too high for you to get up on.
Dangling. It's the dangling that's very important.
The dangling. And she said that she got quite a lot of attention and people were sort of smiling and saying, "Hello, nice spot," and all that. And it's just, I think that more women of our age, you know, in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, should find walls. Sit on them.
That it would be properly perturbing, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be properly like, "Oh my God, what's she doing?" Yeah, I think we should do that just to be subversive.
Absolutely. So that's your job this week, ladies. You've got to find yourself a wall, sit on it and let your legs dangle. All right, Judith? Are you thinking a wall? I hope you've got a wall in mind, Judith.
I suppose it would be spiteful to ask them to send us a photo, wouldn't it?
They can send it. We're more than happy to receive photos of any leg dangling on a wall. We'd love to see that. All right then, ladies, you look after yourselves and we'll be back with you chatting away next week. Take care.
Toodle-pip. Bye.
Bye.